Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Friday, November 4th, and we'll be talking about the MMA slate, the UFC Vegas, whatever, Apex slate coming up tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, right? It's a little bit early, not like a pay-per-view card. So give me those thumbs ups. I feel a little bit better. You can tell from the good morning that I still got a cough. So that's why, you know, I took 2 days off and I took an extra day because I don't feel that bad. It's just that, you know, I talk for a while and then I'll cough for like a minute straight. So that's not very good when it comes to doing shows. So if I do cough for a while and I'll press my cough button, my little mute button here. But Wataz, Suki Singh, Kickstart, good morning. Give me those thummy thumbs. You know how much I love those. So this will probably just be a short show, right? Just going over the MMA slate for tomorrow. If you got any questions, post them in the YouTube chat. Hit that notification bell to know whenever we go live. There's a bunch of football shows on today, right? I'll still be doing the game theory show for premium members because at least Tuttle's on. So he could talk for a while also. Right, when I'm on with someone else, it's a little bit easier. But doing this show, when I'm the only one talking, it's kind of suck when half the time I'm going to be coughing. But tomorrow's slate, 12 fights. We got a female main event of Rodriguez and Lemos, which I'm not even sure it could possibly not even be optimal, right? I mean, probably going to be striking. But Marina Rodriguez is a volume striker. The MMA Grounded Pound podcast should be out today. I didn't do that yesterday because I don't know how do I talk for that long. I haven't coughed yet, so who knows. So that'll be up for premium members. The expert survey will be up for premium members, so sign up for premium. Click on the link in the description. Get $10 off your first month of a combo premium. You get NFL, get MMA, get NBA, get everything. Let's see. So we got Miranda Maverick as the largest favorite on the slate. Another female fight. I think we have her ownership at 43%. I think that may come in a little bit lower. People don't tend to trust the big female favorites, but I mean, Miranda Maverick should probably destroy Shanna Young. I think the Dawson-Mattson fight is going to be popular, and I don't think it should be. And we could get into that a little bit. So, I mean, we could take a look at, like, from an odds perspective. I mean, we have Maverick is the only one that's like a huge favorite, minus 600. And she has the best inside the distance line on the entire slate, which, I mean, she should be like 40% owned. She should be. Will she come in at 40% owned? I'm not sure. I think a lot of these fighters in like this low 9K, high 8K range, that's going to be kind of the popular range, right? People are going to jam in like three of these people and then probably play Daniel Rodriguez, Lemos, if you're not playing Rodriguez. Like, I think like the popular construction will be something like if we play like Maverick, we play Maverick and then Dawson, and then let's see, Nerd and Becky maybe. Trying to like see, you've got Lemos, you've got Daniel Rodriguez against Magny, and you got 7,500 left. Brian, then you could play Minner or Maddson if you're not playing if you're not playing Dawson, you play Maddson. Like something like this. This is why I think that Maverick isn't going to be as high owned. I mean, she'll be like 35 to 38%. I mean, like, she's still going to be high owned. But I don't know if there's going to be anyone necessarily in this range, in this 9K, 8K, high 8K, 9K range, that's going to be like 40-plus percent owned. I think it's going to be the type of thing where you're going to see like 35s almost the whole way through. Maverick at 35, Batista at 35, Dawson at 35, Nurnabecki at 35, Rodriguez around 35, Munoz and Ulanbekov around the 30s. A lot of combinations of these fighters. Hadley may be the lowest owned of the bunch, but I don't think he's going to be like 10% owned. He may be like 20, 22% owned against Candelario. And people are going to make their constructions like this. And like, if you don't play Maverick in this construction, you go and you're going to play like Mario Bautista instead. Like, this is very easy to build a lineup. You know, you put Ramona Pasquale there and there you go. Bautista, Dawson, Nurdenbecki, Daniel Rodriguez, Pasquale, and Lemos. And then if you play Rodriguez over one of these people, like instead of playing Nurdenbecki, you play Rodriguez, you have 7,600 and you play like someone like Nate Maness. I think Derek Minner. I think the outside of Lemos, who's the main event underdog, and Daniel Rodriguez against Magny, because I think Magny's going to be one of the lower owned fighters on the slate because of his kind of lack of upside. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to even take down Daniel Rodriguez. I don't even know if he's going to win. Magny could win this fight in a split decision, but it's going to be a very low scoring fight if that's the case. But I think like Mark Maddson and Derek Minner are going to be quite popular in the low range. Mark Maddson only because of wrestling. Like this Maddson Dawson fight, I wrote this in the expert survey, which is for premium people. I think the Dawson Maddson fight is the one that I'm avoiding the most. I mean, it's going to be very owned. We have Maddson at 13%. I think he's going to come in close to 20. I think Dawson's going to be 30 to 35. Because if you box score watchers, if you take a look at the box scores, these guys put up a lot of points when they win. Okay, Dawson and Maddson, because they're both wrestlers. The problem is that when they put up big scores, they're typically facing strikers. Okay, they're typically facing someone with a deficiency on the mat in some regard. Bad takedown defense, a pure striker. So they get seven takedowns and stuff like that. But Dawson and Maddson are both good wrestlers. I would think Maddson's probably a better wrestler than Dawson, but Maddson's also like, I don't know, 10 years older than him. I don't expect Maddson to win the fight, but I expect Maddson to be competent enough on the mat that I'm not sure how many takedowns Dawson's going to get. I'm not sure how many takedowns Maddson's going to get. This could be a matchup that this is favored to go to decision also, right? We take a look at the inside the distance lines. Dawson's plus 200. Maddson is plus 800. Most likely this goes to decision. And if there's not a dominant, if this is not a dominant 30-27 by someone with, you know, multiple takedowns, Madsen's more likely to pay off his tag at 7,200 because he's the big underdog versus 9,000. But I think people will play Dawson going, you know, takedown city, six takedowns, 12 minutes of control time. But I'm not sure if that's going to happen against Mark Madsen. I think this fight ends up being a dud more often than the ownership would suggest. For Dawson to be around, you know, I have him at like 34% owned and Madsen at 22% owned. For over 50% of the lineups to have this fight, yes, it makes sense if they were facing strikers. But it's like a lot of times wrestler versus wrestler, like neither of them could get takedowns. And then it ends up just being them fighting on the feet. Or a lot of clenching against the cage, right? Attempting takedowns and not getting them. Or getting a takedown and the other guy just gets right up or reverses or something like that. So that's why I'm going to be lower. I'm only playing six lineups tomorrow. As I'm playing more of the small field stuff, out of my six lineups, I will not have Dawson or Metz in any of them. And I'm playing that regard. Now, if one of them does get a dominant victory, they could put up 120 points. I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just not sure if it's going to be a dominant victory by either of them, or if any of them are going to get a submission. Then the other fight to that looking at is Shia Leonard and Becky versus Derek Minner. I think Minner is going to be quite popular. Completely boom or bust. Okay. Derek Minner pretty much only has one path. He's plus 300 to win inside the distance, which is a good number for a $7,300 fighter. But he wins one way, and that's with the guillotine. That's pretty much, I mean, he's not much of a striker, he's not much of a wrestler. He pretty much, you know, you try to take him down, and he goes for a gilly. And if he doesn't get it, he's dead, pretty much, right? He'll just sit on his back and try to get some type of submission or something. But Nerd and Becky, I mean, he could have six takedowns. He could have 12 minutes of control time. So I view Nerd and Becky, like, if people are going to, I like playing the favorites against the popular underdogs. So I think people are going to play Minner, which I think is fine. I mean, dude, first round submission, Minner 105 points, like totally well within the range of outcomes. Absolutely. I get it. I get why Minner is going to be popular. But if Minner cannot get that round one submission or early round two submission, probably Gasses probably gets destroyed, which means Nerd and Becky at 8,900 could end up being the highest scoring fighter on the entire slate. Another fight that I'm looking at, I'm saying a lot of this because I wasn't on the MMA Ground and Pound podcast yesterday. I put in the expert survey, my top GPP play on the entire slate is Mario Bautista. He's going to be popular. He has a plus 160 inside the distance line. Okay. Probably going to be around 30, mid 30s in ownership. Probably not as owned as Dawson. Probably not as owned as Rodriguez. Probably not as owned as Maverick. He's going to be in the 30s. He'll still be owned. He'll still be there. But I think the variance of this fight is much higher because Benito Lopez has not fought in 3.5 years. Okay. And before that, he didn't fight for a year and a half. Okay. So like this guy since 2017 has only had two UFC fights. Now he's not old, right? He's 28. Like, but guy coming off a 3.5 year layoff. That's typically not good, right? Typically you want to fight a little bit more to get a little bit more, you know, cage ready, I guess. So is it possible that Benito Lopez, who really doesn't do anything well, he's not a wrestler. He's not even that great of a striker. He's not anything. He's plus 520 inside the distance, plus 245 on the money line. Bautista is the second biggest favorite on the slate at minus 290, plus 160 inside the distance. Bautista can wrestle. Like, he can do everything, right? He's not a natural wrestler, but I mean, like, he can take down, he can get on top, he can do whatever. It's quite possible that this line should have been minus 1,500, right? It could be. If Benito Lopez is not cage ready, it may look like Bautista should have been, like, minus 200 inside the distance. Could be. Now, it could be that Benito Lopez without anyone seeing, over the past 3.5 years, getting much better at something. And maybe the fight is closer than it should have been. But I think it's priced more like that. I think it's priced as if, like, oh, this is Benito Lopez from 2019. But anytime I see a 3.5 year layoff, it's like, this is possible someone could get destroyed. And when someone could get destroyed, that's a lot of points. So I'm leaning much more towards lineups that have Batista. And I would like to get Maverick in those lineups also. Because, I think many people will not play Maverick because, I don't know, sexism, I guess. Right? But we see time and time again that maybe not this fight, but a lot of female matchups that are lying this wide really shouldn't be that wide. But Miranda Maverick is going to have such a physical advantage over Shanna Young. She's beaten her already in Invictus. So it's like this match has already happened. And Maverick has only gotten better, and Shanna Young really hasn't at all. And she beat Gina Mazzani, which doesn't say much, okay? I think that's her only win in the UFC, maybe? I don't know. Something like that. So I'll be trying to fit in lineups that are like, if I could get Maverick, Batista, and Shylin, and fade the main event or play Lemos instead, like, I'll be trying to make lineups that are look more like this. I mean, this is an own lineup. Look how many fighters are in here that are like this. But in these types of lineups, I want to play a guy. I want to play like Candelario, someone against a 9K fighter, right? I want to play like Sherman or Parisian in the middle. I want to avoid playing Daniel Rodriguez. It doesn't mean I play Magny. But the underdog that I like the most, that outside of like the more popular ones, is Ramona Pascal. Female underdog against a UFC newcomer. Pascal could get killed. I mean, just understand. She basically has no striking defense and just basically barrels forward and tries to take you down. But if she can do that, she could score pretty well. I don't know that much about Tamiris Vidal, but anytime there's a new person, like maybe they're overrated. Like, this line is the way it is because Ramona Pascal against like actual good competition is not good. It's not good at all. But she has the potential of putting up a big score. And then you have 7,500 left. Then you fit someone else in here. Like, a lot of these underdogs I don't like. But that's why it's like, if I'm not going to play Hadley, I'll play Candelario. Right? If I'm not going to play... The problem is that Madsen and Minner are both going to be owned. And I don't want to play Young. So I may be hanging out a little bit more in the mid-range. Like a Johnny Munoz. Tagir Ulanbekov. And Ulanbekov could get like a million takedowns also. Like, I don't think he's, out of all the Dagestani fighters, I don't necessarily think he's very good. But Nate Maness essentially has no ground game. So if Tagir just takes him down, the fight may be over. So if I could do something like this is why, like, I'd love to play Maverick, and I think she's going to be much less owned because you can't really fit in that many lineups like this. Like, if I play Batista, Nurmagomedov, Ulanbekov, like, yeah, now 7,800. Now I'm in business. Now I can play Lemos. My average remaining salary is 8,000. I could now I have a lot more leeway to play a lineup like this. Batista, Nurmagomedov, Ulanbekov, Lemos, Pascal, Sherman. Like, something like this. I mean, in large field, I wouldn't do this. Like, look at these ownerships. I mean, this is going to be duped. Small field, this is probably okay. And especially if you leave out the main event. Like, I think the most likely scenario, I don't think I'm going to play much of Marina Rodriguez. Because I think there's a good chance that at least two fighters above her score 100, 110, 120, something like that. My expert survey hot take is that a 9K fighter puts up 100 points and fails to make the optimal. I think it's one of those types of slates where Miranda Maverick puts up 110 points and doesn't make the optimal because Batista has 120. Shylin has 120, right? Marina Rodriguez has 95, and you don't need her. Ulanbekov has 100, right? It's one of those things where one of these fighters up here, like, is not a top six scorer. It's a seventh highest scorer. We're just, and, or is a top five scorer, but you can't fit in everyone. Like, not, none of the underdog, the big underdogs coming. Like, Dawson wins and scores 85 points, right? Hadley wins and scores 90 points. Right, so Maverick puts up 110, Batista puts up 120, Nurembecki puts up 120, Ulimbeko puts up 120. It's like, well, okay, well, if you play Batista, Nurembecki, and Ulimbeko, like, how do you fit in anyone? Because, like, the only underdog that wins is, like, maybe Pascal is the lowest, like, every other favorite wins. So it's like, the only way to build these lineups is, you know, something like this. Right, so you get those three in and Pascal, Rodriguez, or Fry, or something like that. Like, some of these fights are lined pretty closely, right? Especially in the mid-range, like the 8,500 level. But based on these odds and the ownership, like, I'm much more likely to play this late as if, like, barely any underdogs win. Because Daniel Rodriguez is going to be popular. Lemos is going to be popular in the main event. Derek Minner is going to be popular with first round submission or bust. Madsen is going to get some ownership against Dawson. I think maybe I'm more likely to play Madsen against Dawson. If Dawson's going to be popular, then play Minner against Shylan, maybe. Or maybe I just play Candelario and hope for the best against Hadley. It's not a very good matchup for him. But Candelario, that first round submission, Candelario is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I don't think he wins. Right, he's plus 600, not very good, but he's going to be like 18% versus like Minner being 28%. I think their win conditions are fairly similar. So I don't know. That's the MMA slate, right? It's hard to figure out duplicated types of lineups where a lot of these fighters are going to be fairly even in ownership to each other. Like, obviously, if you're going to play, like, a Magny, Jinyu Fry, a Ludovic, Jolini, and Shanna Young lineup, you're going to be fine. But it's like, if all of these fighters, if we have Maverick and Batista and Dawson and Nurembecki and Rodriguez and Munoz and Ulimbeko all in, like, the low 30s, Shea Sherman at 30%, Dana Rodriguez at 30%, Lemos at 30%, Minner at 30%. I just don't know what combinations am I looking to avoid for large field stuff. For small field, I think you could be fine with a lot of the different combinations. But like I said, I think I'm more likely to avoid the Dawson-Madsen fight and hope that it's just two wrestlers canceling each other out than trying to get Maverick in if I could. But seeing, I mean, I'm the reason why I think she's going to be lower owned is because I'm trying to make Maverick lineups, and it's hard to get people in. I think people, it'll be like that. I don't think people will play Benito Lopez or Ludwig Jolinian or play Shanna Young. Well, you can't play Shanna Young in those lineups, or play Candelario in those lineups. I just don't think people are clicking this way. I think it's more likely that Maverick comes in at like 34% owned. And a lot of that goes towards Dawson and Rodriguez and Munoz and Ulimbeko. So you don't have to play, like, so you don't have to play Derek Minner. I think a lot of Maverick lineups have Madsen or Minner in it. Madsen, Minner, or Lemos, or two of these. So if you're going to play a Maverick lineup, maybe you don't play Lemos, Minner, or Madsen. And then you have to go, well, maybe Benito Lopez learned something in 3.5 years. Maybe Candelario could get a submission over Hadley. Probably not, but could. Probably have to do something like that, which doesn't make you feel comfortable. But that's what UFC DFS is. If you're building a lineup that you feel comfortable about, it's probably not a good lineup, right? Not for large field GPPs. Okay. Nice short show going over the MMA slate. You could listen to the Ground and Pound podcast, Mike and Liam. They went over every single fight, broke it down. I'll be listening to it when it comes out, right? So sign up for RotoGrinders Core Combo Premium. You get NFL. You get MMA. You get PGA. You get NBA. You get everything. We have tons of content, tons of premium content. You get the NBA projections. The statistical projections I use for Prize Picks. I've been doing well on Prize Picks for NBA. Yesterday, what did I have yesterday? There was only two games. I had four, and I got all four of them. I got all four of them yesterday. I didn't even check, right? I had Draymond Green over 7.5 points. Jokic under 25.5 points. Looney under 7.5 rebounds. And Banchero over 2.5 turnovers. All four of them. And then the day before, let's see, what was the day before? Oh, I had a bunch of those. Okay, that's a day ago. I've been doing well. I've been doing quite well on them, right? I think the day before I went 14-7, which is a good day. And you could just go on Prize Picks. And if you're a premium member, you get the Chrome extension. And you could go right on Prize Picks. And it'll overlay. It's the easiest thing in the world. Like, dude, like once I see, like, I don't know if they updated the projections. I mean, let's make sure that you're using current projections. Let's take a look. Just to show you. Value add. Right, okay. These are 10 a.m. projections. Okay. But if you go on Prize Picks, you go to NBA, like you see here, you get the projection, our RotoGrinder statistical projections overlaid over the people. So I could just scroll down and say, oh, look, RJ Barrett. Maybe you do with the under here, right? 19.5 is the line. 17.34 is our projection. Maybe the under there, you just scroll. You go, and any big gaps? Tatum, we have for 3 points higher than this. Right? You start looking through, right? Right? You see what you could find. When more comes out throughout the day, you know, check it out anymore. You go to any category, right? Rebounds. Buddy Hield, 5.5. The line's at 4.5. That doesn't look that bad, right? Right? This is all you did, right? What do you need to know about basketball? Nothing. Nothing. You don't need to know anything. We, our projections team comes up with, does all the work for you. And you go through and it overlays the statistical projections. You go, okay, Buddy Hield, over, right? You pair that up with another one that has a big discrepancy and you make as many pairs. That's what I do. I make as many pairs as I can, right? So I had four yesterday. You pair A with B, A with C, A with D, B with C, B with D, C with D. And there you go. Get six. You pair them all together and yeehaw, $25 each, $50 each, something like that, and make a couple $100. Easy, easy peasy. You don't even have to do it at lineup lock, right? So this is something that I'd be looking at like now throughout the course of the afternoon. Obviously seeing if there's any, you know, injury statuses we have to worry about. Yeah, it's NBA. Look at this. Look at NBA. Look at this questionable. Embiid questionable, Mitchell questionable, Davis questionable, and Edwards, Gobert, Adebayo, Simons, VanVleet, Garland, like people that actually matter, right? We're not talking about Matthias Thybulle or Romeo Langford. And then it doesn't matter what these Q tags are because there's going to be someone that's going to be out or out like 4 hours from now that wasn't even on the report. Doesn't matter, right? But that's NBA. So you can get all of that. You get the Prize Picks extension, combo premium package. Subscribe to RotoGrinders. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. Join me in the Discord. I got my own channel, Blender's Game Theory. We'll have another coaching. We have another Zoom coaching session coming up on Tuesday, right? There's no NBA. There's no pretty much no nothing on Tuesday. It's election day. But I'm doing a Zoom coaching call. They're pretty informative. Very good conversations. So join me there. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Give me those thummy thumbs, right? I survived. I kind of survived. There were a couple of coughs in there, but I think I survived. I don't know if I would have survived an hour-long show. Like, I'm getting to the point where I feel I could maybe not talk that much anymore. But I think I survived. Hopefully, I'll down another bottle of DayQuil over the weekend and hopefully be back to full strength on Monday, right? So I'll join you then, right? Answering your DFS strategy questions, like I always try to do at least, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.